Hello, everyone. Beth Chase here, and welcome to today's broadcast where we will be going, starting the process of talking about RU486 and its growing impact on life-affirming women's healthcare clinics. Now, I believe that RU486 is a primary critical threat to our mission to reach pregnant at-risk women. And so joining us today are two leaders in our medical clinic movement from the great state of Georgia. Our first guest is Christina Middleton, who wears two very large hats. She is the executive director of Life Resources of Georgia, an organization whose mission is to engage, equip, and encourage life-affirming organizations serving Georgia families. Christina holds the contract for the Positive Alternatives for Pregnancy and Parenting Grant Program through the Georgia Department of Public Health and has enjoyed seeing over 48,000 patients served by it. In addition to her role at Life Resources of Georgia, Christina also serves as the Executive Director of Caring Solutions of Central Georgia. With medical facilities in Macon, Warner Robins, and Milledgeville. Did I say that? Milledgeville, right?
That's right.
Okay, and then with Christina is Jill Durbin. She's a registered nurse who is currently pursuing her Master's of Science in Nursing as part of the Family Nurse Practitioner Program at South University. Jill is the director of the Medical Services for Caring Solutions, where she oversees HHC medical compliance, serves as the safety and infection control officer, and oversees staff nurses. So Jill and Christina, thank you for joining us today to share your expertise and knowledge regarding RU486. So Christina, I will pass it to you.
Thank you, Beth. We are both thrilled to be here with you today. We're grateful for all that the PMC Network has done for our organization and overall all of our organizations here in Georgia. And as we began having this conversation, Beth and I, many months ago, processing through RU486, the expanding access that we were seeing this medication available across the country in very alarming ways, we realized that we had to become a part of the strategic planning movement in terms of making sure that we were ready to combat the strategies that the abortion industry had been working on for years prior and making this medication available through telemedicine and abortion by mail. And so as we began watching its effects here in Georgia, we saw the statistics begin to increase. It was alarming at our state level and no doubt across the country. And we know that the abortion pill is a significant, threat to those women who we all know are online, who are looking for help. They're looking for hope. They're not sure what to do. They're not sure what their options are. And as you began looking at the marketing strategies focusing on the abortion pill, it really does look like a very simple remedy for her and one that has no consequences. There are no risks associated with that. So as we dug in and began to work on sophisticated marketing strategy to intercept her first and then began researching the dangers and risks of the abortion pill that come straight from the World Health Organization and the FDA, two sources that we truthfully, we were a bit surprised to hear just the severity of the complication that they do publicly acknowledge, but also to read their best practices, the steps that they recommend that a woman take prior to taking the abortion pill. We were surprised and immediately received clearance from our medical director to begin inserting that into our patient education care plans. And it's made a massive difference. And so I am so grateful for Jill Durbin and her leadership and her expertise. She is incredible when it comes to healthcare administration. It's a gift that, it's rare in the nursing field to find someone that loves the bedside manner approach, but also has a deep appreciation and wiring for the administrative necessity that our movement has when it comes to healthcare administration. And so I'm so thankful to have Jill with us today to begin educating on just what the abortion pill is as we interact with clinics here across the state of Georgia. It's been eye-opening for me as we remember that many of us in this field, certainly in the executive director role, are not healthcare professionals. And so I'm so grateful to have somebody today that can just provide a basic overview of what this medication is and how then we hope to see our impact on the pregnancy medical clinic movement increase in effectiveness as we attempt to intercept women before they take it. So Jill, I'm going to go on ahead and pass it on over to you.
Hi, I'm sorry, Jill. Could I interrupt? I just want to let everyone know that we will be having at the end of the presentation a Q&A time. So go ahead and post your questions as they come. I will be here monitoring them. So anyway, we're going to answer your questions, or I'm not going to be answering questions. It will be Christina and Jill. But just go ahead and post those questions at any time.
All right. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so incredibly grateful to be able to be part of this. And just really, if we can glean off each other, we are all in this together. And, you know, every center across the state, every clinic across the nation comes with different challenges. But ultimately, walk into this together, we can see how we can better move forward. So first, I just have some information on the abortion pill. Now, the first set of information here, if I can get my PowerPoint to work, is, let's see, just about the abortion pill and some facts about that. I'm not getting my screen to, let's see. I'm so sorry. I'm just trying to get... Well, it's not letting me go through my PowerPoint. So sorry. Yeah, I'm clicking the arrow. There we go. All right. I guess it was just running slow. So the first piece of information I have here is just some facts about what the abortion pill is. And everybody calls the abortion pill something different, but different marketing that we're seeing, they're even introducing some new terms for that. And I think it's so important for us to acknowledge the different terms that those may be. Of course, RU486 is a common term for all of us. These are the medical terms below that, the Mifeprix and then the Mifepristone. It's also called a chemical or medical abortion. And then Plan C is kind of the marketing that I've seen a huge push towards in coming across emails lately. So those are just some different terms that we have seen for the abortion pill. And the way it works is by blocking progesterone. That's that first pill that you take. And according to the FDA, it is most effective when it's used alongside misoprostol, which is just the second set of pills that you are very familiar with, I'm sure, that they would take to cause that to be completed. Now, the FDA has approved this medication for 70 days from the first day of the last menstrual period. That's an important fact to have, because we are seeing in our state, and I'm sure you're seeing it in yours as well, that it's being marketed much later than that. We have had patients in our center who have said that they've contacted abortion clinics here in our state who have said that they would be able to receive that abortion pill up to as late as 16 weeks. Pregnant, which is definitely past that 70 days from the first day of the last menstrual period in which the FDA has, quote unquote, tested it for safety. So that's one thing that I like to have as the forefront of our knowledge as we go forward with talking about what services are important for them to have. Now, as of December 16th, the FDA has approved the abortion pill dispensation both in person and via mail through a telemedicine appointment. Now, there's going to be different state regulations, state laws on how it can be obtained, but the FDA has given the green light for safety for them to dispense that via telemedicine. The FDA has a lot of information. I did a ton of research when they first announced this on December 16th through the FDA about the testing that they did and how they determined that was part of their safety. It's past the safety standards. And there was a question and answer sheet that I came across with the FDA that talked about who should and shouldn't take the abortion pill, how they could obtain it. And this is pulled straight from that website, saying women whose first day of their last menstrual period was greater than 70 days ago. That was on the top of the sheet. Well, of course, as I've said, many places are providing that later. Of course, if they have an ectopic pregnancy, if they have there's some other health conditions, adrenal gland problems, if they're taking corticosteroids, if they have diagnosed bleeding problems, if they're taking blood thinners, or if they have an IUD. Some of those things didn't come as a surprise to me, but other things I kind of dug a little deeper into as well. But this is straight from the FDA website. We're very well aware of some of those possible side effects with the abortion pill and being cramping, bleeding, nausea, weakness, vomiting, fever, chills, diarrhea, and dizziness. And this came also directly from the FDA website with serious adverse events that have been reported according to the FDA. So these statistics are up to June of 2021 that there had been 26 deaths reported after taking the abortion pill. Two of those cases were involving pregnancies that were ectopic. And then several of those reported cases were due to sepsis, which is a systemic infection. You know, what should our response be to that? These are statistics straight from the FDA, who is putting the green light out there to say that it is safe. I don't think that this information is well published or well shared with women who are seeking the abortion pill. With the FDA clearance for telemedicine appointments, everything is at her fingertips within a click of a button, and she could have access to that abortion pill. This slide says her world is at her fingertips. 60-second video clips compete to tell her what she needs. In the world we live in, where TikTok videos and little clips on Facebook last just a few seconds, the attention span is pretty low for searching for information. And within a few seconds, if she is finding and having access to what she sees as her resolution to her problem, why would she seek further services? This is just some information that we gathered in kind of prepping for how do we respond to this. When a pregnancy scare occurs, she approaches it with the same mindset. Okay, I have 60 seconds. I can make this decision now. She wants to make that decision quickly. She doesn't want to emotionally connect to the situation. She doesn't want anyone else to know about it. And she can make one phone call and get what she thinks is best for her. This has some more information about how quickly she can obtain that. But we are saying we have that same 60 seconds to reach her. So how do we respond? How do we do that? Great question. There's a lot of thoughts that have gone through here in our clinic, our heads, and we've had so many strategic planning meetings thinking through, you know, how do we compete with that? How do we help her see the value in coming into our facility before she clicks a button and schedules a telemedicine appointment to receive that abortion pill? Well, first, it's so important for us to be the experts on abortion state laws. Every state is different. Every state has regulations. While the FDA has put out their thumbs up to be able to dispense that via telemedicine, each state may have different regulations on that. So our first step is to be the expert. All staff members and volunteers who are in patient and client care should be well educated on what your state laws and regulations are regarding the abortion pill, access to the abortion pill. I've put a website here that has a quick overview, but I would encourage everyone to really dig into what those regulations are in their own state. Step two, and this is something that we have just recently started, is expanding medical services. Now, what do I mean by that? First, patient safety should always be our priority. The priority that we have is making sure that the women that we served are cared for and cared for well. These women are receiving the abortion pill in the mail, in a box, without anyone ever truly laying eyes on them by they're doing a quick consultation on the phone or via video chat where they can tell them anything they want to say. And, you know, we should prioritize that woman's health. We know what these risks are, and we can be there to offer medical care that they may not get otherwise. So the World Health Organization recommends some services to be offered prior to an abortion. Now, recommendations and requirements are two very different things. The states may or may not require these services. However, the World Health Organization is recommending several things prior to any abortion being obtained, which whether that be surgical or through the abortion pill. First being a physical exam. Second is evaluation of need for lab work, and I'll expand on these a little bit. But then third is that ultrasound. As I said, this isn't a requirement in all states, but the results of these assessments can be such an important factor in that woman's well-informed decision-making process. The results of this, of these examinations can help us tap into what her risk may be a little bit more and personalize that to her and her specific needs. But how do we offer these services? It seems like a lot. Many clinics are already doing ultrasound, and we're well aware of the importance of that ultrasound. As I discussed before, the recommendations through the FDA on the timeline for that abortion pill to be dispensed, number one is to make sure she's within that time frame so we can get that gestational age through the ultrasound. Second, the deaths that were reported to occur, some of them having been through ectopic pregnancy. Well, if they're receiving the abortion pill via telemedicine, nobody is doing an ultrasound to ensure that she actually does have a viable intrauterine pregnancy prior to taking that medication. So we can offer that service. And then also the lab work. So we have women, and our demographic is primarily women who have, may or may not have received a lot of medical care, and they don't know what their blood counts are. They don't know if they really have ever had a history of anemia or had issues with their blood counts in the past, because their medical history is not, they just haven't had a longstanding medical history with a provider. But we can offer those services. First, through the utilization of mid-level providers, whether that being nurse practitioners, PAs, certified nurse midwives. Most states do require that physical exam be performed by a mid-level provider or up. Again, there are state regulations on what the scope of practice for each of those may be. But utilization of mid-level providers can help us to expand those services. Second thing is you would have to have an agreement or a contract with a lab. We utilize CDD. There's many labs that are available that you can offer lab testing services. In-house, we are able to perform through CLIA waiver. We are able to perform the pregnancy testing and do urinalysis. But if we're doing further testing through STIs or through blood work for HNH, which is hemoglobin and hematocrit, you would have to have a contract with an outside lab if you were not currently at least at the moderate level with your lab. Recommended lab work through the World Health Organization would be what's called a hemoglobin and hematocrit, or an HNH, which kind of looks at your lab, your blood levels to make sure it's part of kind of that screening to make sure your blood levels are where they should be. And we all know the bleeding risks, but we're able to identify that and further counsel those women on, okay, these are your lab levels, and then provide referrals for further services if she is in fact anemic or if she is in fact having issues that she didn't know existed to help identify what those risks may be prior to taking that abortion pill. Second is STI, or sexually transmitted infection testing and treatment. We talked about some of the other reported deaths being through sepsis, which is systemic infection. And if a woman has an already existing pelvic infection, it's important to identify that and treat that prior to any kind of procedure taking place that may further that risk. And so that's something that you can do in-house as well. Registered nurses can perform those services. Registered nurses can do those blood draws for labs. They can perform those STI testing, but they have to be interpreted through a credentialed provider. So whether that be your mid-level provider or whether that be your medical director, if he or she were willing to take on that service as well. But they do have to be provided by or interpreted by a credentialed provider. Step three is being accessible. Now, accessibility, that's difficult. But these women are getting that abortion pill through a click of a button. And we have to be equally accessible. We really strive to have availability for in-house appointments for our abortion-minded and vulnerable patients within 24 hours of their first contact. I would love to see them the same day. So we do try to put holds on our patient's schedule specifically for patients who are very abortion-minded or vulnerable so that we can get them in within 24 hours. But that's not always feasible. So another thing that we are really looking at is apples to apples, offering those telemedicine services the same way that they're being offered for that for that abortion pill appointment. That's the way we can combat that. So what is that telemedicine service? So with a medical staff member, being able to get on whether it be video chat through our HIPAA-compliant platform to be able to do that initial health screening to gather their health history and then to talk through their options. And then the goal of that is to say, based on this evaluation, based on this health history that we've completed, these are the services that we would be able to offer you and why those services are important, and schedule them from there to come in for that ultrasound, for that physical exam, for that lab work, and also at that point in-house be able to get them with our advocates to talk through that decision-making process. We did a little study in-house of when people were clicking on certain parts of our webpage or through AdWords accounts, and more than 70% of the women who send our clinic's request for help while searching for an abortion and unplanned pregnancy information, those occurred while we were closed, so after office hours. 70%, that's a large number of people who are seeking those services when we're not here in our office to talk to them. In a time when they're able to click on a link and schedule that appointment to receive an abortion pill, we also have to be available when they're searching. The majority of those clicks were occurring, after 8 o'clock, whenever 8, 9 o'clock, when they're at home, they're thinking, okay, I have found myself in a situation I did not want to be in. What are my options? What can I do? And we want to be able to be there for her the same way that she could easily click on that button for that abortion pill. So of course that sounds pretty far-fetched. I know those are some services that may be different for some of you or some of us. We have just started launching some of this. We are not very far into looking into this, but as we're, I think here in our clinic, as we've been brainstorming, how do we combat this? How do we combat this radical accessibility to the abortion pill? These services are all areas that we as a whole have felt very drawn to. And I think we've all felt such a calling to be accessible to her where her needs are. Christina, do you have anything else to add to that?
I do. Jill, would you mind to flip back to the slide that focuses on her 60-second situation?
Yes.
As we begin processing with our partners, because I know we've probably got many executive directors on the call, I sit in the seat that you do, and what that means is, these are great ideas, but how do we fund it? How do I explain to my partners and to my board and to my staff who's probably already overworked, how do we look at adding more? And this slide right here is the why. The how will come, but you have to start with the why. And the reality is that abortion pill is a video chat away. And Jill did a great job of explaining the accessibility, the dangers, the risks of the medication, even having access to national hesitation or risk education related to services that need to be offered first. Well, it's the same in this situation as it is in others in our movement. If we offer a limited version of sexually transmitted infection testing and treatment, if we're only offering several of those, most of our facilities in Georgia anyway would offer chlamydia and gonorrhea only. Well, if a patient returns and she's still symptomatic and we have to send her to another community health clinic or provider there who will immediately hand her a referral for an abortion, they will have undone all of the life-affirming education that we have provided to her. And so we want to make certain that she never has a need to go anywhere else. The idea of adding additional services that look like Well Woman Care is still incredibly missional. And I think that that is what we as leaders are charged with in making sure that we are constantly doing, not only what's in the best interest of our organization, but what's in the best interest of those that we missionally exist to serve. And what that means is as services, and how we do that is to explain this situation. The screen that you're looking at is what we actually sent by mail to our partners at the end of the year as part of our end of year giving request. And I was blown away at the impact that such a simple panel and our partners, they gave in incredible ways. And honestly, this is all we did. We dropped this in the mailbox, and it spoke for itself because she does feel the need to take care of this quickly. You see this every day as you're interacting with patients. She does not want to emotionally connect to the situation. She doesn't want anybody to know about it. She wants to make a phone call. She wants to take care of it. And what is so troubling and is about healthcare today is that there is no physical health assessment performed. Nobody's required to actually be present with her. Nobody actually has to know. She doesn't even have to leave her house. So we have that same 60 seconds to reach her. If you have not already done a marketing analysis on AdWords in your local community related to the search term abortion, abortion pill, abortion clinic, or abortion cost in your service area, I highly recommend that you do that right now. You can pick your phone up or grab another computer and see who is at the top of your page, who is purchasing the AdWords space. About 5 or 6 years ago, we realized that abortion clinics were just south of Metro Atlanta, and abortion clinics were owning our Middle Georgia ad space, and we had to get involved in that fight, and it has become a bidding war, a significant bidding war, and no doubt will for your organization as well. But the marketing element of being able to intercept a young woman is absolutely crucial to reaching her, and it is the critical step one. And so as we continue through processing, and Jill, if you'll just keep switching, what I'm going to do is walk through not the same information, but from the perspective of an executive director related to how do we respond? How do we fund this response? How do we staff this response? How do we project manage this response? Because I know that that's probably in the heart and the mind of the EDs on the call right now. And so, Jill, you can just keep flipping. But as we look at continuing on right here into medical services, if you have registered nurses already on staff, you'll see that this, the H&H that Jill described, that is so critical to making sure that this young woman has access to that lab test, because she is not going to be mandated to provide it, even though it is national recommendation. And so we began utilizing our registered nurses to begin drawing blood. And I know that that's not something that everybody does, but it is not a hard service to implement. Your nurses are trained in doing that. They may need some refresher courses and some training that comes along with that, but it really is not, it's not a hard service to add to your service model. It's not hard to build into your patient care plan and process. And here's what you're going to love. If you use the Center for Disease Detection, I don't know, you might have charts with a local lab and maybe it'll be a better deal. But for us, it's $3 a patient to run that lab cost. That is incredibly inexpensive. And so I'm sure everybody could factor that into their budget, even in a new budget year here. And so the H&H is a fabulous next step for someone, even if you don't have access to a mid-level provider. I know there's cost associated with that. There's other credentialing and just privileging and some other compliance that does need to take place, not to mention insurance coverage and things that would be necessary before bringing in a mid-level. However, what can be done now is adding in that H&H lab work. It's just the addition of that to your insurance. And then obviously there is some minor compliance that comes along with standing orders and making sure that your physician is on board with that and your medical leadership there. But that is absolutely crucial to a woman having that done prior to having the abortion pill. And so I just wanted to highlight that that's something that's inexpensive and most likely accessible to your organization right now if you are functioning with a registered nurse on site under the care of a licensed, hopefully OBGYN or a medical director. And so that I hope is something that gives us a tangible next step. if you do have access to a nurse practitioner or any other mid-level that your state would give the availability to or the clearance to providing physicals, again, we have built out something called a pre-abortion physical assessment. And as we launch telehealth services, just to bring a little clarity to what that will look like, we are a clinic that's open almost 40 hours a week. And even as we began processing through our data, 74% to be exact of the people who visited our AdWord pages for abortion specifically and unplanned pregnancy clicked on, I want help, contact me, during those hours while we were not available to them. And so beginning from the hour, if we're open till 7 p.m., then at 7 p.m. when our clinic shuts down, the telemedicine nurse, her phone line turns on. Her time and her hours with us become live up until 11 p.m. at night, and then these nurses would also be available weekends. But I do want to clarify that this is not a call center. This would be early on-demand medical care directly connected to your nursing staff with hopes of getting them in the door. The medical appointment there would give her an opportunity to connect with a nurse, hopefully see the face of a nurse who was loving and compassionate to her, that demonstrated a genuine desire to meet her right where she is, a place that she could trust, a place that is local in her hometown or nearby, that she could go into and already have the guarantee of privacy. And if HIPAA compliance is not something that your organization has really followed through with, I highly recommend that you do that for centers here in the state of Georgia. It's not a recommendation. It is a requirement coming straight from our Department of Public Health. And so make sure that privacy is something that is certainly put in place before any of this is ever built out. However, if you have the opportunity as a nurse to interact with that patient initially and offer the first half of the appointment, which would be walking through health history, doing some decision support, and ultimately getting her in the door for what we call the pre-abortion physical, that is a massive win on the marketing front. And so from the telemedicine perspective, it is a reality in terms of what she has access to here in Georgia. Telemedicine appointments are available almost every day of the week. And so we just knew that we had to begin countering that. There is a marketing aspect, I think, that comes along with that and building out some of the language of your ad platforms and things like that. But we will absolutely share this PowerPoint with you all if that would be helpful. We are thrilled for Beth to send that out to everyone, and wanted to just address that as we are working with the concept of expanding services and this comprehensive women's health assessment that's being offered, even the cost associated with that, it is so inexpensive. Even with the staff of a nurse practitioner built in, it's only $30 a patient appointment for us. That's the cost to our organization. And I know that is something that most of us could build into our budgets. But I do realize there's many steps that come ahead of that. And so really what we would encourage you to do today, just in overviewing these steps, is one, learn what your state laws and become familiar with the abortion pill. Make sure that you know how women in your area are accessing it. And then you build out your own customized marketing plan that makes sure that you are in the conversation for her before she jumps to an abortion clinic or another telemedicine option there for her. And then the idea of expanding those services that are relevant to her situation and risk at that moment, and then being accessible to her on demand when she needs it. And for us, that's the telemedicine approach. We are just launching this, so we will certainly keep Beth apprised of how impact is going with that. But as we have begun about 5 years ago processing through the option of abortion in today's world, everything about the cultural mediums that she's being communicated to is that abortion is a positive thing. If you haven't had one, you're missing out. It's no big deal. There's hardly any risk to it. And it's just become the cultural norm. And so for us to be able to combat that, for us to be able to really reach her where she is and begin a conversation that she doesn't even want to have, we had to begin where she was. And what we implemented was something called case management, which is the combination of healthcare and social work. And I have to tell you, once you get these women in the door, there has to be more than ultrasound available to her, because she is staring at the life on that screen that might be waving at her. That baby may put on a dance party, but she looks away and says, I see that, but she shifts her gaze onto whatever else she hears is more important to her in that moment, because she's probably not in a safe relationship. She's probably dealing with a lack of stability in maybe employment or education. She may not have food on her table at the moment. She may have major college plans and dreams and goals and aspirations. She doesn't want to disappoint someone. There are many different aspects that place her into a vulnerable state. And so the idea of somebody coming in with a customized care plan to meet her where she is, identify the why, not how in the world could you shift toward having an abortion, how could you have that mindset, but why does she have that mindset, and then attempt to problem solve with her and move towards stabilization. If she realizes that there is somebody who will walk with her, she is much more likely to make a life-affirming decision. And that might be in parenting, or that might be in placing for adoption, which we are fans of both approaches here. But it is so critical that we are ready to receive her once she actually walks into the door with a staff that is trained and is comfortable speaking about abortion in a non-judgmental way. And how we market, how we brand ourselves to her is so very important. And so that's another webinar for another day. But I hope that this just provides a brief overview, everyone, on why the RU486 movement that we are experiencing across the nation is something that our movement has got to begin combating with strategy and with change. And I know that change is so hard, certainly when you've got budgeting restrictions and you've got staff restrictions and so many things on our plates and on our to-do list. But oh, how I pray that the Lord will give us the boldness and the courage and the drive and the vision to be able to move forward and meet this absolute growing need that our country has. So Beth, we're going to go on ahead and pass that back on over to you.
All right. Wow, that was very informative and clearly communicated. Thank you, Jill. You're a wealth of knowledge, and from a medical perspective, and Christina within the pro-life medical clinic movement is absolutely critical and of great benefit. Okay, let me see here. I need to click a button. And Christina, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, there's quite a few questions. Okay. And so bear with me here. I need to go to the top. I've been trying to answer what I could. All right, here's the first one. They would love to get the RU486 care plans that Caring Solutions currently is using. And so if you could respond to that request.
Sure, sure. Well, I will say that our care plans, the term care plan, I have found to be very different. That means something different to each organization. So if somebody does have a specific question, feel free to email us, and we can talk, you know, in a customized capacity. But because of the way that we approach case management from the very first appointment through our additional support program, which is called GPS for us, everything is customized. And so it's built on demand with that patient. And there's not necessarily a cookie cutter care plan that we would distribute. But we can talk individually with anybody that's interested in learning more about that.
All right. Very good. Another one, please. Do you advertise or market these services as pre-abortion exams? How do patients know the PMC mid-level will provide these pre-abortion health and safety items?
It's all detailed on our patient website.
Okay. That was an easy response.
It is.
Okay, let's try. Here's another one. Do you know what keywords are being used for marketing plan C?
Yes. That's been a part. We've just begun working with a new marketing firm and have undergone quite an extensive Google had a review, and that has been a big part of that conversation. So, I think that it's going to be different for everybody across the country. I know for us here, it's actually not that different than what, we've always been building language around surrounding the traditional use of the abortion pill. The words that you would add, be remote or telemedicine, they do know that word, making sure that honestly, they don't even have to have that built into the search terminology because the abortion community has taken care of that with them. It's very clear, at least here locally. I don't know how it is for everywhere else, but it's very clear locally that when you're looking for an abortion, they're spending thousands of dollars every month in ad and geofencing marketing strategies to make sure she knows that Plan C is available to her or a remote option is available to her.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Christina, you and I have talked at length about this in the last few weeks about how we have got to catch up. We've got to catch up fast. Right now we're behind the eight ball, but it's groups like Christina. I think she's doing a lot of trailblazing in this. So you will be hearing a lot from her in the future as a movement need to do what I am calling one of the great pivots. And that's meeting the needs of our clients because needs are shifting considerably. Okay, another question here is what level of healthcare professional can provide telemedicine?
That is different for every state, we found. And so I would direct them back to their own state regulations. Jill, I don't know if you want to provide them if there's a national resource that you utilize here in Georgia.
You would just need to go to your state's Board of Nursing. Typically speaking, if you're calling it telemedicine, it needs to be a licensed healthcare professional. And so we utilize quote-unquote telehealth platform for advocates, but we call it telehelp. So we remove any medical language from that. But if you were advertising it as a health assessment, most states are going to require that you have a licensed healthcare professional doing that. And so it could be based on the scope of practice in your state, an LPN up through NMD. The recommendation gold standard would be to have an RN be able to provide that service or a nurse practitioner.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Here's another question. Can we get the 60-second slide to print? Now, ladies, I've got a lot of requests from people wanting to make sure that they can get the PowerPoint. And so is that something that you will be offering to all
of
us?
Absolutely. We'll let you distribute that, Beth, however you want to do that.
Perfect. I will send that out in an email. You know, we always have a follow-up email. In that email, that it will also include a link to the replay of this video so that you can share it with other people in your organization. And also, I convert it to a podcast format if you prefer to listen to it in a podcast way of listening to the broadcast. So let me go to the next question because they just keep coming. It's awesome. Okay. Oh, here's this. Well, she said, can we use this infographic for our partners?
Absolutely. And that's fine with us. Yeah.
Okay. Wonderful.
We would request that it not be used online just because it's gone out locally here. But absolutely, they're welcome to use however they'd like to.
Okay. Very good. Is it possible to get an electronic copy of the slide? I'm sorry. I should have caught that. Yes. You said that it's coming.
Distributing.
Okay. You will be saying, guys. Okay. All right. Answered that question already. Let's see. While using CDD, is it $3 per patient or is it $3 per test?
So that $3 that she was speaking of was for the H&H test specifically. The CDD, the way the contract works with them is they provide all of the equipment that you would need for that service. And so, and they just kind of redistribute it to you as you're using it. So $3 per test for the H&H. Now other services that are offered, whether it be STI testing, or the PAP testing, those are going to have other charges. But for H&H, it's $3.
All right. Next question. What HIPAA-compliant telemedicine platform do you utilize?
So we use an EMR system. It's an electronic medical record keeping system called AdvancedMD. And it has a telehealth platform and portal built in. And so we utilize that here. But I do know that for those of you who might be on EMRs that do not have a telehealth platform, or maybe you're still on paper charting, there are other just individual portals that you can use for telehealth. I would just verify that they are for medical privacy, that they have those safeguards in place prior to doing so.
All right.
And again, Beth, let me just, if you don't mind, to speak to the privacy element briefly.
Yes.
The idea of taking services outside of the physical property lines of your facility, that's new in our movement. And so I would make sure that you have proper insurance coverage and certainly board approval. I mean, there are many different compliance steps that need to be taken prior to launching something like this. But in the privacy conversation, ensuring that HIPAA safeguards are in place for the registered nurse or whoever the medical professional is that's going to be on that telehealth call off property at her home or wherever that may take place, that is absolutely vital. And so I just felt the need to make sure to say that one more time.
Okay. You know, I am so intrigued with this model. I am not a big fan of national phone numbers that people can call and from your community. And I'm so thrilled that this model brings us back into the control of the medical clinics locally so that you can build relationships with that client that's calling. So I'm very, very excited about this model that they are developing. All right. Looking here, a couple more questions. Okay. Oh, now someone would like to get your policies and procedures and standing orders regarding this as well. Is that something that you are willing to share at this time, or where are you at with that?
You know, we always, because we are not a consultation firm, you know, we're always very hesitant to be the one providing that. We would really recommend that whoever is drafting those standing orders for those individual organizations draft those for them. If there's someone that's really struggling with that, we would be thrilled to come alongside and be a friend in that work. But certainly want to be careful about becoming consultative in that regard formally. And you know, the policy and procedure build out, there's a lot of liability connected to that. And so if anybody wants help doing that, of course, we are happy to come alongside and be a friend in that effort. But definitely encourage them to find that professional resource to help build that structure out for them.
And if I could piggyback on that, Christina, also every state is going to have different recommendations on what your policy and procedures kind of need to build off of based on who can provide specific services. Every state is different on that. And then we did a lot of research into best practices through, you know, for PAP testing, American Cancer Society, ACOG. And so I would encourage you to also kind of dig into what standards are for your states as well as what best practices are. So that you can kind of mold those policies and procedures into the specifics of your organization.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing, giving that kind of answer, Jill and Christina, because I can't tell you how nervous I am about people just taking someone else's policies and throwing them into their policy. For one thing, you don't own it. You know, you haven't researched it, you haven't worked through it, but I love the consultative kind of thing that needs to be done in that, and there's a lot of resources. If you all need some resources for that, give me pop me an email, and I can certainly share some of my favorite with you. Here's the question is, what is the cost of a nurse practitioner in Georgia?
Oh, that's a great question. It varies, as you can imagine. In a metro Atlanta area, the cost for that service is going to be significantly higher than in a small rural area out in North or South Georgia. But traditionally, I can share that the average cost per hour, and I encourage all the executive directors to take a nice deep breath when I share this hourly rate, is about $50 to $55 an hour. So that is That is what it takes these days. And again, it would be more than that in the metro populated areas of your state, I would imagine.
Okay.
Worth every penny. Worth every penny.
Absolutely. I know. It's
And truthfully, not hard to fundraise for. Not hard at all to fundraise for, done in the right way.
Yes, I so agree with that. You line up with what God wants you to do, and the money absolutely will come.
Absolutely. So
here's a question. Are your centers in Georgia faith-based organizations?
Yes, every single one is.
All right.
Whether they would formally identify as that legally and the way that their bylaws are structured, I can't speak to that. But the majority of them, yes, they are.
Uh-huh. Okay. Who do you use for marketing?
We have personally used a number of different companies. I have not yet found one that we feel like really fits the bill. There are elements of each one that I think have different strengths and then obviously some weaknesses that come in along with that. But at this point, there's not one that I would direct everybody to, unfortunately. I was sure hopeful that we would be in a place where we did have a national resource. But early on in a relationship with a new company and really working to educate them on the parameters of our movement and how we best market for them. So I think we're about 6 months out of running some test demos. We're launching geofencing services as well through them, which is basically just drawing an electronic marketing circle around for us. It will be the female dorms and major university systems in our community as a service, and attempting to make sure that our information is available to them. And so I will keep you updated on that front.
All right. Thank you, Christina. What database do you use for your clients?
Again, that would be our EMR system, Advanced MD.
And that's electric.
It is, yeah. It's all electronic.
Yeah.
We're paperless.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Another question. Do you put these health and safety facts on social media? Use social media to explain the WHO and FDA standards of care for an abortion?
I would have to double check with our social media team. I have, they may have put some on and I have not seen them directly. It's not something that we are bombarding social media efforts with at this point, but they will definitely be floated out over the months to come.
Mm-hmm.
If they have not already started, I think that's already started, but I'll have to double check.
Okay. All right. Okay. Oh, answered that question. Could you share the pregnancy center website? What is your website for the clinic?
Oh, it's coreofcga.com, coreofcga.com. Because our medical clinic is Core Healthcare for Women of Central Georgia.
All right. Could you say that one more time, please?
Sure. Core, C-O-R-E, O-F for of, C-G-A.com.
Okay. Thank you. All right. And the last question, I think. Let's say keep bringing more. What is the purpose of having them come in for a pap smear?
Jill, I'll let you speak to that.
Absolutely. So as we mentioned, and Beth, I can send you the links to these that we kind of gathered our while we were offering these services. So especially for women who have never had a pelvic exam, specifically PAP, World Health Organization recommends to have a pelvic exam to determine really what you're looking for. And this gets a little bit deep into the medical. And so Christina doesn't like to talk too deep into the medical with this kind of stuff, but you're looking for masses. You're looking for discharge. You're looking for any signs of potential infection, growth, anything that could cause complications with a procedure. That is, there's a lot more that goes into it than just the pap. Really, it's you're inspecting through visualization, through palpation, just feeling, and through health history, her overall reproductive health. That would be standard before any kind of procedure reproductively were to take place, and really any kind of procedure, period. We're also doing, you know, vital signs, heart and lung checks, all the things that are recommended by most regulatory agencies prior to any procedure taking place. And so that'd be for surgical abortion or medical abortion. So it's just kind of gold standard prior to any procedures.
Okay, well, that's it, the last one. So thank you, everyone. Thank you for tuning in for the live presentation, and thank you for those who are listening to the replay. I hope that you have found this beneficial. I know I have. And a special thank you to Jill and to Christina for putting together this presentation and taking the time out of their busy schedule. They've got a lot of even state activities going on, big things happening in the state of Georgia that Christina is involved with. And so keep her in your prayers today. It's a big, big, big deal. And I just want to say, Jill, Christina, is there anything else that you would like to say in wrapping up this presentation?
No, just that we love our dear friends who are co-laborers in this movement. And we're all, you know, you can easily feel as a leader that you're on an island on your own trying to tread water and do this by yourself. And you're really not. And so just an encouragement in that regard that they are dearly loved and prayed over. And if we can be a help, then we're happy to.
Okay, very good. Well, in wrapping this up, remember that you should be receiving an email tomorrow. We'll be going out the follow-up email, and it will include a link to the replay of this video and to a link to the podcast version of this presentation as well. It'll include the PowerPoint and any other documents that Jill and Christina want to include in that. So until next time, everyone, may you be blessed and may you be a blessing.